We enjoy a beautiful view from there. From our hill we can see a city and various larger and smaller villages. All sorts of wonderful animals come to us from the forests. All my siblings have a special preference, while one person particularly enjoys the magnificent horses, another loves dogs or tigers and panthers. Yes, the wildlife here is so diverse that it has become friends with us. You must not imagine that the animals here have a wildness that is characteristic of them in the earthly world. This wildness is completely dissolved here. The animals are trusting and beautiful. Smaller and larger herds come towards us, but there are also magnificent birds near us, whose songs we particularly enjoy. All of these animals understand each other, none of them harm the other. The little kitten plays with the big tiger, there is no sign of wildness in them. If time allows us, we go on walking tours, often with the animals because they know us and are fond of us. Everyone has a preference for one animal or another. So we gather them around us and often go a little way into the forest with them. So we have a wonderful life. But you should not think that we have nothing else to do than interact with the animals and have fun with them or keep an eye out for them. We also receive visits from angels from heaven who teach us, because each of us has a task that we fulfill with great joy. The task is that we put together lectures, for which everyone is given a topic that is completely tailored to their personality. These are not scientific instructions, but we are preparing for the instruction of the spirits in different levels of ascension. So we have to deal with topics that are crucial for the spiritual salvation of the individual. Only when those spirits have reached a better level of development can one bring them the expanded knowledge. I said that everyone can deal with their topics according to their nature, what suits them best. So one person has to constantly adapt his lectures to gentleness if he is imbued with it. He then has to visit the different levels of ascension and teach those souls in groups. However, we 9 siblings do not teach together in the same sphere, but we take turns. On the other hand, for example, someone only has to talk about peace and the dangers and evils that result from disregarding it. So he has enough to talk about with which he can explain the laws of God to those souls. What you hear from our brother will now be explained in detail by us much more clearly and in more detail. So some of us have to teach the ascending siblings, for example, in courage, in energy, in endurance and what can be achieved through them. We are, as I emphasized, our 9 siblings, and each has a very dignified task to fulfill, because it is necessary. When you humans look at each other like this, you notice that some people have a sleepy nature, they have no energy, no stamina, no courage, nothing like that. Sometimes they go through their lives so restlessly, so uncertainly, so discouraged and cannot see the right path for themselves. But you should not believe that this is only the case with humans. It is the spirit in people that expresses discouragement, joylessness and the like. So in the spirit realm there are enough of these souls who are lacking energy and discouragement. Many of them do not even enter the afterlife with a heavy burden, which means that they have not committed sins so serious that they would have to be led into a dark world. For them, it is more about training them, strengthening them, teaching them. So it is our task and the task of other siblings, whose nature it is to use their energy to lead the way for them. We have to talk to such beings about everything that has been neglected in human life due to their lack of energy and joylessness, which are such a hindrance to spiritual advancement. We make it clear to them that people full of courage and energy did that, living vigorously according to God's laws and being able to create new things and explore new things with a certain amount of sacrifice will contribute a lot to their spiritual advancement. So you can teach these spirits in this way. But if it is not possible to penetrate them with these instructions over a longer period of time, they will still have the opportunity to prove that they have learned something. Of course there are many spiritual beings who fail. If it is recognized that they are not able to achieve something in this sense despite instruction, then they are classified in the appropriate level. So our task is to go to these souls. but we take turns. While one descends into the depths, another, who has already completed his task there on various occasions, goes to those other siblings in the higher stages of ascent. I would also like to point out how our teachings are held. A spirit that teaches meekness is completely permeated with it in its very being. Likewise, a spirit that teaches peacefulness is also completely permeated by it. Now I want to tell you how we came to our task. We have reached our beautiful sphere through fulfilled lives on earth. Only then were we brought together by the world of God. So the nine of us, just as in our development, natives were allowed to work together on a task. So this beautiful house was handed over to us from where we can go about our tasks. In the early days, our activities as teachers were strictly monitored by higher spiritual beings, and we continued to be taught. We always had to first give our higher siblings insight into what we wanted to present for instruction. So at the beginning we were not just allowed to choose a topic on our own. We examined carefully what we intended to say to the others. The angels of God knew how to complement us in many ways. They had precise knowledge of what was important and necessary in all the spheres of ascension and what should not be emphasized or touched upon there. Over time, we trained ourselves so that everyone knew exactly in what sense they were allowed to teach here and there. But that went on for a long, long time. And all this time we lived together in peace in this beautiful place, and our aim was to be able to take a good position in God's plan of salvation and order. But then they came to us and said that necessity demanded that we all enter a new life on earth. We certainly recognized the necessity, but on the other hand we also knew about the dangers of human life. So we had to leave our beautiful house. However, during the time of our absence, that is, of our life in the earthly realm, it should remain uninhabited. This is how we came into a new human life. But not in the way that we found each other or even became friends in this life, but rather we were separated from each other across entire countries, over long distances. So we no longer had the slightest idea of our former friendship in God's world, nor of our task there. What we had to accomplish in earthly life was a similar task. Because if someone was already full of courage and energy and had a leadership nature in the spiritual world, all of this remained with him in his earthly life and he regained a leading position for himself. Since one was spiritually at a higher level of development, one was noble of everything and good, and people worked for it. Of course, you also faced temptations, just like every other person. But none of the nine siblings suffered serious injuries. Everyone had overcome the temptations to the best of their ability, and everyone had fulfilled their life's mission to serve their fellow human beings. The person who taught about tolerance in the spiritual realm had to show his fellow human beings what God wanted through a patient life. So everyone had to prove themselves in their own way. But we did not get close to each other in life on earth, we knew nothing about each other, nothing about our being together in the beautiful world of God. So one by one they were called back. However, the return home to this beautiful, magnificent house did not take place immediately. We first met on a plane that did not come close to those beauties. One after the other arrived here. Over the course of about 5 years, all nine siblings were together again in God's world. Each person was immediately recognized for their achievements in life as well as their occasional failures. Because of this, they consoled each other and tried to lift each other up. The angels of God were also there and rebuked us for what we had done wrong, but also praised us for the good we had done. So we had to do without the beautiful house for the time being. We should spend a certain amount of time on one and the same level, each of us alone. Everyone was assigned a small forest to stay in an environment that was certainly beautiful, but, let us say, it did not have such bright light. However, it was a very pleasant and soothing atmosphere. Each of us, in our aloneness, should reflect on the life we have lived. We should recognize what we had done wrong. Yes, we were sorry. people could see it, and each of us had resolved not to repeat these mistakes. In this way each one had, so to speak, formed itself. On the other hand, the seriousness of the tasks to be fulfilled had been taken into account. So we had a time for reflection and inner contemplation. So we lived individually, each for ourselves, in a small forest where we had no encounters, neither with our siblings nor with God's angels or the animals. But we were told that we would be led out of the forest when our time was up and that we would then be allowed to return to our beautiful house. When the time came, we were all called together again. And then we went straight to this beautiful house, where we have been living ever since. As we approached it, everything seemed familiar again. At first we were very impressed by all the events in our human lives. We also had our ties to certain people that we did not find easy to break. So we still had a lot to overcome and overcome. When we saw the wonderful, magnificent house again, everyone said the same words. Have not I been here before? It seems so familiar. But it wasn't empty in our consciousness yet, we could not yet say with certainty that we had lived here before. When we returned to our house together, it was again the same angels of God who had come and gone here before. We recognized them and they explained to us, it is the house you have lived in before. Before your last human life, you were all here together. Now everything was made clear to us again, what we had accomplished here and that we had once started from here. We had regained our ability to see back to that time, and everyone knew again exactly what task they had fulfilled here. This knowledge has been given back to us through the will and desire of the higher spiritual world. So we got together again. The heavenly messengers came and immediately explained to us that we again had a similar task to fulfill. We should teach the siblings in the advancement levels again. In the same way the angels understood again, but only about two or three times. Then they said, you are through the last life gained further knowledge. You have gained experiences that now benefit you as a spirit, and you have further strengthened yourself in spirit. From now on we will no longer control what you say. You should now have our trust and do the right thing. Although we were obviously no longer under any actual control, what we taught the siblings in the ascension levels was being listened to nearby by higher messengers. If someone had acted wrongly, they would also have been reprimanded. But what we had taught before was no longer enough, we were now also being trained in other areas of knowledge. Until now we had taught our brothers and sisters about the virtues, we were all steeped in it and already knew it by heart. So things should no longer be the same as they were when we were happy to spend so much time with the animals and enjoyed their beautiful existence. Our range of tasks now became larger and more strenuous. Now senior teachers came to us. They taught us about so many things, about life in God's world, about the type and composition of vibrations and other divine laws. We were given additional information about this, but we did not have to pass on this knowledge at the moment. For the time being it simply served to supplement our knowledge. We were imbued with the virtues and had hitherto been characterized as special spirits of peace, gentleness, helpfulness, and tolerance. Now we should no longer remain so one-sided in our knowledge and in our tasks. Now it has been made clear to us that someone at our level would be expected to have even more comprehensive knowledge. A lot was explained to us and we were able to clearly enjoy the lessons. We were led into different heavens where angels of God were at work. Here we met. We no longer saw souls who were in the process of purification, but here were all angels of God who worked diligently in these glorious spheres. It is clear that we could not understand everything immediately. Yes, we had to realize that it would take a very, very long time. We would have only somewhat grasped everything. It took an unimaginably extensive amount of knowledge to even be able to understand what was going on. There were brothers and sisters there who were particularly keen to grasp it more quickly, sometimes in this area and sometimes in another. We had been trained together, and so we were able to understand it, to a certain extent. So we all returned to the same sphere, to our house, from where we had started a new life on Earth. After our return, as already mentioned, we were higher teachings given. It was further explained to us, you have a certain amount of time to stay here and be trained again. When you have met these requirements, you will all be able to leave this house together and move to another level, again a level higher, which will again be more diverse and magnificent. This house of yours will then accommodate other siblings and remain open until then. In this way, the angelic world will bring other siblings together again when their development is ready. Then they will live in this house and continue the task we have carried out. So I am one of those spirits who were promised to open the way to a higher world after a certain period of time. Now I have carried out my task with you. If you have any questions as a result, I would like to ask you to ask my brother, who will get in touch after me. I say goodbye to you again and ask God's blessing on you all. God bless you. Greetings from Spirit Teacher Joseph. Dear Joseph, there was talk of spirits of gentleness, spirits of peace, spirits of tolerance. We have also heard of angels of gentleness and tolerance and, on the other hand, of angels of punishment and battle. It is clear that there are circumstances that require tolerance, but also such that require a fight. Both seem to be in God's order, but especially in the Christian consciousness it is often difficult to distinguish between when tolerance is necessary and when something important has to be fought for. Joseph, there is no general rule that can be laid down here. That has to be up to the individual's feelings. He is being watched to see whether he is able to judge fairly, where tolerance is in order, where one should be more reserved or where one has to defend oneself. It is like this, you have to try to remain harmonious in your work. I would now like to say, you should not clench your fists in all things where justice is at stake, but rather stretch out your feelers and listen to the views of others and consider how we could achieve the desired goal together. Sometimes it really comes down to things where the spiritual world would advise, yes, just be very combative. You have to fight for this thing, then you will achieve the goal. If you are not sure, then you should meditate on it calmly and ask God, show me the right path, remove everything from my path that harms me and what I am fighting for. Promote everything that is good. Then the spirits of God, who were not in a hurry before, come and say, go now and say what you believe is right. The spirits of God are so patient, they are in no hurry. They think and look at people. Only then do they slowly start to work. Depending on what needs to happen, they clear everything out of the way so that everything goes well and harmoniously and people can fulfill their plans without difficulty. Or if it is not allowed to happen, they put obstacles in its way, for example through illness. These are the answers from the spiritual side. According to Christian belief, tolerance would be particularly godly. Dear Joseph, can you say something about that? Joseph, dear sister, you cannot mix tolerance with everything. It must be applied where it is justified. And elsewhere it is necessary to proceed with a certain degree of rigor. Here you just have to know exactly where to be tolerant. One has to be tolerant towards old, sick, helpless people. Tolerance is required when faced with mentally and physically weak people. But one can certainly expect a healthy person to achieve certain achievements and, if necessary, one can approach him energetically. If you suffer injustice, do you have to take it upon yourself and endure it, as the Christian religion teaches us? Joseph, yes, that is right. If it has happened and you can no longer change anything, then there is no point in rebelling against it, indulging in lower thinking and building up bad wishes for the other person. What can no longer be changed should be accepted and endured as a test. See, dear friends, it is hard to make the right decision everywhere. So you can see how much it takes, also for the mind, to always recognize what is right, what needs to be promoted and what needs to be prevented. It is not so easy. The world of God demands that a person who strives for spiritual heights not just live with his passions and addictions. Anyone who claims intellectual integrity can also be expected to have some understanding. You can tell him what is appropriate and what is not. However, if someone has succumbed to passions or addictions, you should be able to tell them that you do not take their actions as valid and apologize for them. If he is not upset about this, he may make an effort to get rid of his vices or passions. But if you do not make any effort to improve yourself, you will be marked for having no goodwill at all. If you rely on Christian teaching, you have to constantly strive for the right path and mustn't say, "I just cannot help it, that is not possible." You do not have to be patient with such people, but you can tell them what is appropriate and that you were wrong about them. Of course, it always depends on how you relate to the other person. This must, of course, be taken into account. If one cannot tell the other person what the problem is due to dependency, if one struggles and fears for one's livelihood, then the only option is tolerance. Either you leave such a person, or, if this is not possible, then there is nothing left but to persevere, practice tolerance and ask God for strength to help you endure the harshness of the other person. I now come back to the question, if you want to be convinced whether you are acting correctly, you only need to ask your fellow human being, "Do you think it TMS not wrong if I always talk about such and such? Isn't TMT the way I behave towards others unruly and inharmonious?" Other people around you know best and can tell you very well, because you do not know it yourself. Every person is most satisfied with themselves. He feels that what he is doing is the only right thing and cannot accept any blame. Experience report of the ascending spiritual being Sapphire and answering questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Caldenstress, the Reich template, first publication in the magazine Geistige Welter. Next headline, July 1, 1959, David, a heavenly builder. An artist builds a new settlement for his siblings through diligent work. Control Spirit. God bless you. I am the control. Dear friends, a ghost comes forward after me. He lived a good life and was allowed to enter a world that corresponded to it. What he has to tell you is for your instruction. God bless you this hour. God bless you. David, God bless you. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is David. I would like to tell you about my impressions in the spirit realm. Of course, I was very surprised when I woke up in this other world, because as a human being I was of the opinion that you would be resurrected on the last day and that you would have to rest somewhere for that long, in the grave or somewhere else. I had no particular idea of this judgment day. I just accepted it. It made most sense to me that it could be so. I have tried to be fair in life. My heart was good, and so was my mind. So I was happy about these beauties that I encountered. My mother immediately came to meet me and expressed her joy that I had now arrived in this other world. It is so beautiful here and I should now share in the joys with her. "Yes," I said, "I am actually amazed to see so much of the same here as at home." I was also amazed to be able to grasp all of this straight away, in this very state, to think so clearly, that it is not as I believed, that one would have to rest in the grave or somewhere else until the last day. Yes, it was nice here, I liked my surroundings and it reminded me so much of home. Well, I became interested in the buildings, in this site, because this city that I had arrived in was made up of different settlements. My mother and father showed me around this city and explained to me the different settlements. I realized that they were so different in appearance. They each have a completely different style. I was very interested in all of this because I immediately had the feeling that the buildings in this other world had been built with greater attention, more patience and perhaps even more love than comparable buildings on Earth. I was mainly interested in the material and wanted to know what type and form it could take. Then my mother came to me and said, "David, you are still thinking a bit too earthly. You must now change your thinking and try to think heavenly. You cannot compare the things you see here with earthly things, for everything here is heavenly. You must try to make your thoughts heavenly. I replied to her, Mother, you have a good speech. When you come from the earthly realm to this other world, you are not immediately able to think heavenly, but you feel, think and act earthly, just as you were used to at home. I turned my attention to the various settlements and found that I was unable to grasp or dissect, analyze, the type of material from which the houses and everything else were built. I said yes, since it was heavenly material, but I could not quite understand it yet. I was also told that I was not yet able to grasp this, it is now heavenly work. I cannot examine this material and therefore cannot determine what type it is. I would have to be in the kingdom of heaven for a longer period of time to be able to understand how and from what materials all these buildings were made. Well, I was satisfied with that. I was presented with facts, the buildings were there. But these differences interested me. Entire settlements resembled the style of the Byzantine era. Others fell into that according to your calculation, Carolingian era, others belonged to the Renaissance. I saw settlements that were from the Gothic, Baroque, and even Romanesque eras. These settlements differed from each other in their particular style. I could see everything as I walked through the settlements. I wanted to know, how is that possible? It all seems so earthly. Either these souls from earth took their inspiration to the kingdom of heaven and rebuilt the cities there according to that time, or is it the case that the souls were inspired from the heavenly realms according to their development, their level, in order to build their houses accordingly on earth built? Yes, I had questions after questions and my mother did not really know how to give me answers. She just kept saying, David, you think too earthly. You must now turn to higher thinking. Yes, I promised I would do that. But now I was interested, why is this settlement here the same architectural style as the one back in the earth realm? Everything is available here too. I mainly liked the settlements that had the appearance of the Byzantine era, I liked all those towers. It is so ornate, so beautiful. The settlements from the Romanesque era may also have something to offer. I would even like to say, it is the same with every development. And I passed by a settlement from the time of the migration. The community houses were structured accordingly. And in every such settlement there was a temple, which in turn was very reminiscent of everything that human hands had once built in the earthly realm. But I had the feeling that things were more precious and beautiful here in the kingdom of heaven, that this beauty certainly cannot be found in the earthly realm, although there is still a lot of beauty there from ancient times. It is mainly the churches where this art was allowed to be expressed. However, such churches as in the earthly kingdom cannot be found in the other world. There are large temples and prayer halls here, almost an infinite number of them. But they adapt precisely to the buildings in their surroundings and in their immediate vicinity. So they form something closed, something common. And long paths are open again to another settlement, and yet the whole thing together forms a city. Well, I wanted to know further, the earth also had its great artists. If it is the case that one finds, so to speak, the same thing in the kingdom of heaven that human hands build and have built in the kingdom of earth, what about the great musicians? Where is Beethoven, where is Bach, where is Mozart, where are the other composers? My mother had to give me an answer, and all she could tell me was, everyone lives with others in their own world, in their settlement, and everyone continues to practice their art. I wanted to know further, what exactly is your occupation now? Do they compose, play, sing, or what do they do? Yes, my mother could not give me an exact answer about that, but she told me that I would find an opportunity to satisfy my curiosity. I told my mother clearly that I would be very interested in this. I also wanted to know why and where they came from, where they got to, what work they do and what other ways they could influence people. My mother replied that I would be given the opportunity to be informed about it. I particularly enjoyed these many beautiful buildings and also thought about them. This gives me the opportunity to move around freely in this big city, and I am happy with my life, also with the friendships I have made and, in general, with all the acquaintances I live with. I also cannot resist going to the earthly realm every now and then,